Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Well, hello, my friends. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia. This is the Tuesday broadcast. So I want to welcome you. And I know some of you are driving home from work, and I hope that you had a tremendous Tuesday. And I have a dear friend of mine every day sends me a text message. And on that text message, this person will say, tremendous Tuesday or wonderful Wednesday. And so today on our Tuesday broadcast, we want to do something different. And if you've been listening to us for any length of time, you know from time to time, I'll have a guest on the broadcast with me, and we've had guests that are part of the various ministries of our church, and one of my favorite ministries is Celebrate Recovery. And I want to let you know that if you need some help getting past a hurt, a habit, or a hang-up, Celebrate Recovery is a tremendous ministry. And we had Greg Mayshock on here a few weeks ago, and he's one of the directors for Celebrate Recovery at our church. And if you need some help in this area, or you know somebody that needs some help in this area, I want to encourage you to join us every Sunday night at 6 o'clock. And if you let me know you're coming, I will connect you up with Greg. Or if you are a woman who'd like to connect up with one of the leaders of the women's ministry within Celebrate Recovery, I'll be happy to introduce you to Tracy. Well, as I said just a moment ago, we have a guest with us today in the studio, and I am so happy today to introduce to you my dear friend, Chris Villamore. Now, Chris is from Philadelphia originally, so we won't hold that against him, but he got down here to Hampton Roads as fast as he possibly could, and God has done an amazing thing in his life. You know, one of the things I always share on this broadcast is the fact that we believe in the power of prayer. As a matter of fact, if you will submit to me a prayer request, I will pray for you personally. I will have our team on Thursday morning pray for you every Thursday at 5 a.m., bright and early on 5 a.m. on a conference call. We have about 15 or so people that pray. We go through the prayer list that is submitted to us. And another way that we also connect through prayer is through a prayer chain. And so we have people that are on this chain, and we send out the prayer requests to them, and they will lift up people by name, praying specifically for them. And so today we have a walking testimony of a man who was healed by the power of God. And I know as you listen to this broadcast, you may have different feelings about how God brings about healing, how God works in this whole endeavor to bring about health and strength to us. But I am here to tell you that today that I believe in the power of prayer. And so I want to introduce to you today Chris Villamore, a part of our Hickory Ridge Community Church family. And I wanted him just to share a little bit about who he is. And then I'm going to ask him a little bit about what God has done in his life and how God has brought healing to him. So, Brother Chris, would you go ahead and share a little bit about who you are and what God's done in your life?
Thanks, Calvin. It's good to be here this morning. Like you said, originally I'm from Philadelphia. I came to Tidewater in 79, joined the Navy. Retired in 2002 and started doing software primarily for DOD. I became part of Hickory Ridge Community Church thanks to Mark and Terry in, say, 2013, which planted the seed for growth that's in my life today. I have now 5 kids and 1 grandson, which just fulfills our life. And my wife, Terry, and I went to first grade together. So she's been a tremendous support, especially through this past year.
You know, I always find it amazing how God works behind the scenes of our lives. And God is always up to something. And I want you to know, as you listen to the testimony of my friend Chris, that you're going to hear about how God worked miraculously in his life. And Chris went through a hard time, and I don't think he minds me sharing this, but he went through a hard time after a marriage of 30 years ended, and went through a time where he was kind of doing some soul searching. And during that time is when God began, I believe, to do a great work in his life. And God not only has brought healing to him, but God has also brought a new spouse into his life. And what a joy Terry is to their relationship. And I had the privilege of doing their wedding ceremony just a couple years ago, and just to see how much Chris has grown in his faith. And so, Chris, I want you to share a little bit about what you experienced going back to January of this year and how you had a health crisis in your life and how that unfolded and what God did in the process of that health crisis.
So I didn't think 2020 was going to be interesting enough. So working out of town in the D.C. area, January 5th, I traveled up, which was a Sunday. I got up Monday morning, took a shower, getting ready for work, and it felt as if a balloon had popped in my chest. So kind of caught me off guard. I kind of composed myself, and I thought I was okay. I called Terry and said, hey, you know, this is what happened. She immediately said, call 911. And I was like, of course not. You know, I'm going to be okay, and press through. So as I started going to work, my left arm locked up and was having some more issues. So I went back to the hotel and called Terry and my wife, who pretty much explained to me I was calling 911 or they were coming up to get me. So I called 911 and my buddy Avery met me in the lobby as the ambulance came, and the rescue squad took a sample and said it wasn't a heart attack. Got to the hospital in emergency room and put me on the gurney, and the nurse came in and she took my blood pressure in my left arm. It was low, but not crazy low. And as she was walking out the door, something stopped her, and I could see her back was to me, and I could tell by the movement of her head, she didn't understand why she stopped. And then she pivoted around, came back, and she took my blood pressure in my other arm, and that was like 50 over 40. And then she immediately ran out, got the emergency doctor come in. They sent me down for a CAT scan. And as soon as I came back 15 minutes later, all of a sudden, a bunch of people came in, started cutting my clothes off. Emergency doctor came in, and a surgeon came in, had said, sign this paper, and it said, your ascending and descending aorta ruptured, which I didn't know what that was, but I was taking for granted that he told me the truth. And at that time, I signed a paper. He says, if you have your phone on you, call your family. It might be the last time you talk to them. And at that time, that's when I texted you, said, hey, ER, this is what's going on. And things kind of evolved from there. Mm-hmm. And to jump ahead just a little bit, after everything was said and done and the operations came through, I started thinking about what happened, you know, what transpired from January to, say, July, August. And it was all the things that God put in place prior to this incident of January that made things successful for me. And it brought more light into, you know, there are things that happen in your life that you don't realize that's going to affect you later on down the line. And it just did. So I went and I had my ascending aorta replaced in January. I was in the hospital for 2 weeks and had to stay in a hotel for a week. And then Terry, my daughter, and my whole family all came in from Utah and Colorado and Virginia and Philly. I woke up in the recovery room and my whole family was in there. Now, this is January 8th, pre-COVID watch. And to think of it now, I woke up and there was 15 people in my room waking up. What a lovely feeling that was. The things that happened, you know, when he said, call your family, there was a ton of things went through my head. You know, was I a good father the past, you know, 40 some years to my kids? Was I a good husband to my wife of a few years? You know, was I, you know, a good brother and son to my family? And especially, was I a good enough Christian to get into heaven? You know, and unfortunately, you know, everything succeeded and got me to where I was. There were some complications after the surgery where my wife had to take me when we were back home here to the hospital. My blood pressure was like over 160 and got me into Sentara Hospital. And then, you know, by the grace of God, that there was a doctor there who understood what was going on, and he recognized that I had a descending aorta aneurysm going on. So I had to have my descending aorta replaced this past June. And I've been recovering from that since. But saying that all the things that get put in place is that if it wasn't for Mark and Terry telling me, you know, to come to the church, I wouldn't know about the prayer chain. And the power of people praying for you, I think, is tremendous than, you know, somebody not praying for you. And then, you know, you just praying by yourself fully works. But I think collectively as a group, you know, it works. My daughter-in-law's parents live in our in-law suite. They were there to, you know, watch over the house, hop around the house. There's things that I can't do that my daughter-in-law's father is wonderful in maintenance and stuff like that around the house and really looking after Terry and, you know, just making sure everybody's okay. The fact that I met my wife, Terry, she's been by my side since January 6th, hasn't left, kept medical records that, you know, everything going on. When we go to doctor's appointments, the doctors will talk to her instead of me because she has the book and everything. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where I would be without her. And my kids' support, you know, both my two sons, both my four sons now, and my daughter, my daughter-in-law, my grandson is just wonderful with their support. And then, you know, my brother and my mother, I just went up to see them in Philly not too long ago and just their support. But it's the prayer and not being afraid to ask for somebody to pray for you. You know, a couple of years ago, I would have never asked somebody to pray for me because it was my business what was going on. It wasn't anybody else's business. And getting over that hurdle to say, hey, can you come and pray for me? It was a big step. It was a scary step, you know, first time ever. I said, hey, you do this, but it worked out. So, but I'm on a recovering right now. You know, my operation was June 25th, so July, August, 2.5 months into it, started cardio rehab. Everything's going good there. Fortunately from, you know, all my friends that, you know, I got a buddy, David and Mike, who really looked after me at work. You know, I don't want to start naming a lot of people, but, you know, Pat and Ann and I say David and Ellie, Mike and Amy and all of my friends have really looked over. My neighbor, Kevin and Tammy, Tim and Allison have also come over too. So I've been blessed with the number of people who've come and helped me, you know, cared. And if somebody's out there who is questioning whether, you know, prayer works or should you go talk to somebody, you know, take it from me. That, you know, like I say, a couple of years ago, I would never talk to anybody about this. And it's a reassuring feeling that somebody's praying for you. Now, your prayer might not get answered the way you want, but it's going to be heard, you know. And sometimes we don't get the things that we think we should have. We get the things that we need.
Absolutely. And I was just looking at the text message that you had sent to me on that fateful day back in January 6th. And the text from you says, I'm in the ER with chest pain. Can you say a prayer in Arlington, Virginia? And so I responded to that within just a few minutes, praying right now for you. And then after I concluded that text, I sent it out to our prayer team. And then a few hours later at 12:41, also on January the 6th, that Monday, pray open heart surgery now. And so I replied, okay, praying, getting our team on it. And then that next Sunday, you know, not everybody in our church knows who you are because we do more than one service. And so I put your picture up on the PowerPoint on the big screen. And now the reason I did that is because I chose his wedding picture when you and Terry got married. And I did that because Terry is much more attractive than you are, Chris. And as you told me just a few minutes ago, you have a face that is built for radio broadcasting. And so anyway, I put your picture up there. A whole church prayed for you on that Sunday in both of our morning services. And as I'm scrolling down these texts, this journey was a long several month journey. And I was looking at the text and you were rushed to Norfolk General with fluid on your heart a few months after this happened. Mm-hmm. And even through that time, we prayed for you and prayed for you. And I visited you up there at Norfolk General and just to see what God did in your life. And it's amazing as I'm looking through this chain of text messages, you know, God's just done amazing things in your life.
Yeah.
And God's worked in your life miraculously. And just to see all these things of what God is doing and how God is working in your life. And so you got hooked up with small group. I'm looking at a string of texts that you joined us for a small group. And just to see how God did all these amazing things in your life. So God answers prayer. So in the broadcast next week, we're going to conclude the book of James. And I'm going to talk to you about James 5:16. And it talks about the power of prayer given by a righteous man. It's effective and powerful. And so we have just a few minutes left in the broadcast today. Could you tell me a little bit about what's happened in your life since you've had this aorta replacement surgery done? What is God doing in your life now? in your personal life, in your spiritual life, in your family life. What's happening in your life now since you have come through? I know you're going through rehab, and you're getting the therapy you need so that, everything comes back strong. But what's happening in your personal life now since you've had this surgery?
Well, in my spiritual growth, I'm trying to figure that out, because what is part two of my life? I mean, I got not only a second chance that happened in January, but in June, I considered a third chance. So to me, the reason when I first approached you about, saying my testimony originally at the church, was I didn't want to hide from the fact that, I don't consider myself lucky. I consider myself blessed. Give credit to, the surgeons and the nurses. And if you're a nurse out there, God bless you, because I've seen nurses. I was in the ICU for a total of maybe 2 months this year, or maybe a month and a half, and just how they work. And I have my daughter's a nurse, my daughter-in-law is a nurse, it's a real appreciation for them. And just for me to talk to somebody and say, hey, if you need a prayer, don't be afraid to ask somebody, or if you have to go by yourself and pray straight to God, that's fine too, but don't be afraid to ask for help. That's something I'm trying to learn now, and it's a more appreciation of life. It's kind of funny. People say something happens, and then you get a sense of the flowers smell better, the sun is brighter, and that's true. It's an appreciation of my family, of my friends, of life in general, because it's so easy for it to slip away, and it's unplanned. Is this the last time I'm going to, kiss my wife goodbye or say I love you to my kids? That came reality when that doctor told me, call your family, this is the last time you might talk to them. And when I said my aorta ruptured, it ruptured for about an hour before I got medical care, which is, if you look at, a lot of celebrities had passed away from descending aorta or dissected aortas, which I didn't realize was that common. But I went around for an hour plus with both ascending and descending ruptured. Why? Why did that nurse stop at the door? I tell you, it was like a force field that stopped her. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. So for my spiritual growth, it's if somebody comes and talks to me something, I'm not afraid to talk to them about it, and I'm opening up more to start the conversation. For my family, I mean, I tried to be the best father, husband, uncle, grandfather, or my grandson calls me Poopa, that I could possibly be. And I try to be more of that now, and things that trigger me, especially nowadays with everything going in the world, those things that would trigger you off, I kind of back off a little bit of that and say, God has control of these things. You might not think he does, but he does. And my input to this, is it going to hurt or help? So I kind of look at that. And I appreciate the relationships I have in my life with my friends. My friend Mike and David looked out after me for work. I would have been lost without them. And then, not only that, like I said, their families, and I don't want to start naming friends. I'm afraid I'll miss somebody, but, Mike and Nelly and Mike and Amy and David and Nelly and Pat and Ann and, like I said, Kevin and Tammy and Tim and Alex, all those really, and Terry and Mark have all been them, so.
Amazing friends.
Yeah.
I think it was Abraham Lincoln who said, no man is poor who has had friends.
Yeah.
And there's something very special about having friends in our lives and brothers and sisters in Christ. And you think about what is most important. The most important things in life are really not things.
Right.
The most important thing in life is things that we can't buy with money. They're relationships. They're the opportunities that God places before us. And I think about the best things that I have ever received in life. They're not things. It always has to do with relationships. It has to do with life. God gives us life. That's a gift. God gives us everlasting life. That's a gift. God provides so many things in our lives. I think about husbands and wives and how God brings them together, and that is a tremendous gift. And so I want to encourage those who are listening today to pause and just thank the Lord for all the things that he has done for you. It is amazing when you think about how much we are blessed. And as you think about how God gives us a purpose, and that's the last thing I want to talk to Chris about, is God has extended his time here on this earth. And we have a lady that is really up there in age in our church. And every time I see her, she says, well, Pastor, I don't understand why God is keeping me here on this earth. She says, all these younger people pass on, she says, but I'm old and I don't understand why God keeps me here on this earth. And I keep telling her God has a purpose for her. And then I kid around with her because if you know me well, you know there's not too many serious bones in my body. And I tell her, now listen, this is the reason God is keeping you alive. The devil doesn't want you and the good Lord's not ready for you. And so he's going to keep you alive because he wants you to fulfill the purpose that he has for you. And I think about David. When David passed in the book of Acts, it says this of David. When David fulfilled his purpose for his generation, he fell asleep. In other words, God took him home when he completed the task. The Apostle Paul said the very same thing. He said, I have finished the course. I have fought the fight. And so, Chris, talk to us a little bit about what you're going to do the remaining years that God has blessed you. How are you going to use your time? What do you think God's purpose is behind all of this? I know the greater purpose that God has for our lives is to glorify him in everything that we do, say, and think. But what is the more specific purpose that you think that God has for you in this remaining time that God is going to bless you here on this earth?
I love all people. I try to, if you know me, I'm a big hugger, and it's kind of hard in the atmosphere that we live today where, you know, the 6 foot, you know, separation people kind of drives me crazy. And every time, you know, when we do get around people and I try to go up and hug them, you know, Terry, my wife is like, you know, just cautious of, you know, the contacts that we have with people because, you know, everything going on with me, if I get, you know, the COVID, it might be a, you know, worse than somebody, you know, who hasn't had some operations. But I pray, and this is every day, to make me wise enough to understand what my life is supposed to be about. You know, it's just, you know, what is my goal, not my goal, but my purpose in life. You know, I've been fortunate, I made it, you know, just turned 59 a couple days ago, to get this far with, you know, 22 years in the military and, you know, a couple of nicks and scratches, but I made it through, you know, and I made it through, you know, being retired for almost 20 years. I just, to say what it is, I don't know. I just, to be around people, communicate, and like I said earlier, to tell my story of, you know, I don't think it was luck that happened to me. I don't think it was luck that, you know, Terry took me for, you know, after the first operation, to the hospital where I got under the care of the doctor who, I guess, invented the technique that I had for my surgery in June. And it's just to go and I guess, speak to people when I can about what happened.
Very good. Yes. Taking every opportunity, every available opportunity to speak the good news. And I think about your life and how God has protected you. And by the way, thank you for serving in the United States Navy for 22 years. We appreciate your service. And I know you come from a family that also serves. You've got family members that are in law enforcement. And so we want to give a big shout out to them and thank them for the service. And I think about spiritual warfare. In the book of Ephesians, we learn about the armor of God and how we should be protected spiritually. And so I want to encourage you as we close off our broadcast time today, looking at the book of Ephesians chapter 6, what a powerful chapter that is. We have protection for every part of our body. We have the helmet of salvation that protects our mind and how we process thoughts. You know, when you become a follower of Christ, you're a new creation, the old is done away with. And then you have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And that is that we're to go out and share the gospel. And I think that's what Chris is going to do. He has been given a platform because God has done something really miraculous in his life. And so now he's going to tell all of us what God has done for him. And then we have the belt of truth that kind of holds everything together. And Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And then we have this breastplate of righteousness. That protects the most vital parts of our bodies. That is the heart. And we've learned from the book of Proverbs that we're to guard the heart above everything else because out of it are the issues of life. And as you look at the armor of God, you only have one offensive weapon, and that is the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God. And we use that as a weapon to bring about conversion, to bring about conviction. It also brings about protection and comfort. And then as we go through putting on all of the armor of God, Paul says this, above all, pray. In other words, we're to pray as we put this armor on because God uses this armor to protect us, but he provides protection through the Spirit of God. And so I see what God's done in the life of Chris. What a powerful, powerful testimony. I so thank you, Chris, for being with us here in the broadcast. I'm going to go ahead and close out our time together. And thank you, audience, for listening to us today. Father God, we close off this time together during this broadcast. And we just want to say a big thank you for bringing about healing. What a mighty God we serve, that when we pray, you hear our prayers and you respond to our prayers. And we are so grateful for the fact that you have worked mightily in the life of Chris. I thank you that he shared his heart with us today. I pray that we will also share the gospel with everyone we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.